Please be quiet. We need to start now. Thank you. Quiet, please. All right. Next up, we've got Axel, who's going to be talking to us about reducing container image sizes with eBPF and Podman.
Hello, everyone. So my name is Axel Stefanini. I'm a software engineer at Red Hat. And today, I'm going to talk about how can you tackle the problem of bloated images. And we will see how Podman and eBPF can be used to target this problem. So we will see today why you should reduce your container images, how Podman and the OCI, Open Container Initiative, spec can be used. eBPF and containers, how they can work together. And I will do a demo, because I think that showing my code running is probably way clearer than the slide that I'm going to show. So depending on the context and what you are doing with your images, in an enterprise context, usually you want to reduce your container size just to avoid CVEs. You don't want to be called at 2 a.m. in the morning because there is one image tagged with 10 CVE vulnerabilities. And especially sometimes your image is tagged, but this is just a shared library that is not even used. But how can you determine what's being used and what's not inside your image? There is obviously the network bandwidth. Bigger is your image, more network it will use. And also the starting time. A 5 megabyte image will obviously start faster than a 5 gigabyte one. So how do you determine what is going to be used in your container? That's a pretty tricky problem, and static analysis may work in some languages, but when you have a very big image with different components interacting with each other, binaries, utility stuff, different programming language, you may want to go into a runtime analysis, but there is different approach that I tried for this problem, because it's something that I was thinking about pretty long time. I tried first to create my own file system, a fuse file system in user space, trying to intercept every file which is open, but this has way too much overhead and performance that it just does not make my application work. But I recently came across, like a few months ago, an article from Valentin Rundberg and Dan Walsh. The main idea was, how can you limit a container system call access? So Docker, when they first created the containers, they limit the number of system call that the processes inside your container can call. They created a subset of something like 240 system calls, but that's still a lot. And most applications don't need that much. So they made a tool combining eBPF and Podman to be able to, at runtime, capture every system call that a container is doing. And then later on in production, you can use this list to restrict the container. And if there is code remote execution and attacker, if they try to use a system call that is not in the list, it just crashes the container. And this idea is something that, yeah, could be used to do the same for file access. So Podman is just a container engine, very similar to Docker, almost a drop-in replacement. You can run Podman run, Podman pool, everything. And they implement the Open Container Initiative spec, which is a spec to define how containers should work. And why Podman? Because I'm working at Red Hat, and I'm working on Podman desktop, so I would have issue if I had not used that. So you want to be able to do your runtime analysis. You want to be able to be called to have your program, which is going to run the profiling, called before the container is running. So you can use the pre-start hook. How hooks in containers are a bit tricky. You define an annotation you tell Podman or your container that respect the spec, okay, when this annotation is used when you run a container, you call my binary in a synchronous manner, and until I return, you do not start the container, because you don't want to have your container running, doing already stuff, and then set up your profiling, because you would probably miss some loading libraries and other things. And for example, you can define very simple hook, and your hook, your binary, will have some information, which is the PID of your container, and the annotation value that you said that is required. But containers, yeah, you can create sub-processes, you can have tons of things happening in it. So how do you profile everything that's happening inside one container? You check the mount namespace. In the Linux world, for containers, for isolation, the engine is usually create a mount namespace. This mount namespace has an ID, and every process inside your container, without privilege, so it does not go outside the container, will have the same mount namespace. So with this ID, you now have a way to identify process, but you want to be able to capture everything that is happening in a performance-wise manner. So eBPF is the solution. So to go quickly, there is a room at FOSDEM on eBPF. It's a very big subject, very nice. It allows you in the big line to run code in a privileged manner inside the Linux kernel. You don't need to recompile your kernel to run some custom logic. Why it's important? Because it's very, you can hook in any place, in most of places inside your Linux kernel, and you can access the struct, the internal data structure in some way of it. So you should do that because it's very efficient. There is like almost no overhead if you do your eBPF program pretty nicely. And it allows you a lot of flexibility. So there is tons of eBPF program. There is for everything. You can hook into system calls. You can hook into file system. You can hook into drivers. But there is one which is very interesting, is that you can hook into a Linux security module, and the specific one is the file open. I tried at first to hook into the system call open, but some new application now are using OpenHat, and there is, when you use exec, it's not mandatory opening some files, so it was very hard to be sure that everything that is read, opened, accessed, execute, I want to catch this information. So this Linux security module file open hook, which is a list of things that you can attach your eBPF program to, is what has been used. So now you have Podman. Before starting the container, it calls your binary. Your binary will be able to load your eBPF program. You just in your binary, you'll be able to identify the mount namespace. So you now have a way to determine every processes from within your container. And inside the eBPF program, every time a file is open, it's an event, it's a task, and in this task, you can access the mount namespace. So now, every time a file is open on everything on your system, you will get a call. You can filter the call saying, okay, this is not relevant to my problem. And then you can just send back the information. So you receive an event, you see a file. This file is from within has been opened from within the container. And eBPF allows you to define some map data structure to communicate between the kernel space and the user space. And you just stream the data. And in your user program, because you use the annotation, the nice value, you just put an absolute path where you want this data to be dumped. So, next slide. Demo time. I may need to. Just put mirror. Yeah, way better. So you could. I don't have. Yeah, thanks you. I don't have much time. So in an ideal world, you want your, to have your production container and at least run a production-like use case, because let's say you have two endpoints, one endpoint is reading a config file, the other is not. If you only test the one that is not opening or fully covering your use case, you will just get data which are not relevant or not representative of what's happening inside the container. So you could say, okay, you could use it in the CI, or you could use it with your end-to-end test to at least have an ID. So, for example, we could run just for this demonstration. We have the Fedora image, which is a utility-based image, just like Ubuntu, but it has like tons of binaries. There is a lot of things in it, but it's expected because it's a utility-based image. But what I want to do is here, no overhead. I'm not using my annotation, so nothing is happening. I'm just going to copy-paste the annotation. So now I'm just doing the same, but I'm adding the annotation and the path where I want the content to be dumped. So doing the same, let's use some of the binary that we have in it. So we can use date, I can use grep, I can use cat, we can see the profile. What else could we do? We can use some binaries here. But I think that's all. We can see now in our disk folder that we have a profiling file that has been created. It's just a JSON. It's not really nice to represent. But I made a quick UI tool which allow you to take this file. And what it does, it just go to the Podman registry, dump the image, check all the layers, and create a tree structure, just file tree of your system. And it combined it with the dump file that you got. And it just tells you if a file has been opened or not, and tells you how many percentage of the content is used or not. The percentage are using the file size, not the number of files. So for very small file, you will not see, but all of this could be configured. So let's go into our bin folder. And we can see here that we are all in all of the binaries. The bash one is obviously used because it's our entry point. So we use the cat to see the profile. We see the date. We see dir colors. OK, it has been used, probably for something. And yeah, other things like grep. So with this method, you can just see everything that has been used in your container. And when everything which has not been used, here also we cut the profile so we can see it. One slide. Why is it empty? Next. This operation is not supported. Amazing. But the next slide, is a thanks for listening. Okay, it's not working. Thanks for listening.
Hello. Thank you for the presentation. I have two questions. Is this tool already integrated in Podman?
I'm sorry, I don't know.
Hello. It does work. It's just very.
Is this tool already integrated in the Fedora image or in Podman?
I don't see it.
Integrated in the Fedora image or in Podman?
Oh, no. This is just a thing that I work on my free time. I link the repository, and you need to install it yourself.
Any other questions?